Please take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I think I came up with the most difficult outline for this morning. But I think that despite that, the Lord will work in each of our hearts. What I was actually going to say was I came up with a difficult outline this week. And that consisted of, I like you, I love you, and will you marry me? That's probably the hardest outline that I could probably speak from. But it wasn't because I know the girl that I'm marrying. So, Numbers chapter 13 is where Mr. Halad, Paul Halad, read from. And I don't know about you, but when I hear turn to the book of Numbers, it's not always something that I get excited about. It's usually something where I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm really going to have to pay attention more than usual. But I'll tell you that no matter what passage of scripture it is, God will speak to you through it. In Numbers chapter 13, we hear an account of the children of Israel being led by God. It was almost like follow the leader where no one wanted to follow the leader, both Moses and their God. In Numbers chapter 13, it's actually a little more serious than when we sing the account of 12 men went to spy in Canaan. Sure, that's the right record of that. In fact, God and the people in Israel chose 12 leaders to go spy out the land. They chose the best. It was almost like picking your all-star team to go spy. But this point here in the wilderness where God is trying to take them into his rest, otherwise known as the promised land, a very serious event happened. They were separated from God. Would you look at Hebrews chapter 3? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. The writer of Hebrews is speaking about that exact same account in Hebrews chapter 13. In fact, you heard a message on this exact text last week, although you may not realize it, because Hebrews chapter 3 comes directly from Psalm 95. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lord has this being preached twice. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Would you bow your heads with me? And before we pray, as your heads are bowed, would you do something, please? Would you empty the room in your head, in your mind, in your heart? And would you ask the Lord to speak to your heart this morning? Lord, thank you so much for your word and for the promise that it will not return void. And I pray that hearts here this morning would not be the same as they came in. That you do a work in my heart, that you do a work in the heart of every person seated here this morning, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout the years of my childhood, I remember watching the evening news with my parents and with my brothers. And I remember a lot of things about those evenings of watching the news. I remember the cups that we drank from. They were for little kids. They were really interesting. They were looked like almost ice cream cones because they had the little waves on them. Then the straw was really windy. And we'd be sitting there watching TV, drinking from these straws and eating from plastic plates with our names on them or with a little section so that the liquid from maybe corn wouldn't go into the beef, because some of us, like Jesse, were paranoid about that. And we'd be sitting there watching the news, enjoying the time, and then the local news would come on after the national news, and the story would appear where the news anchor would say, some parents were hiking in the wilderness, and they had a few children along with them on this hike, and unfortunately, one of the children got lost. They can't find him. Search and rescue is going after this child to find him or her, and it was a feeling of separation, no doubt for the parents, but for even the people who were viewing the news. But then another story would surface, maybe a few weeks later or a month, on a different account of a totally different person, a totally different child who got lost. And the announcement wasn't nearly the same as it was with the first child. See, this announcement would have come across the screen as child who ignored parents got lost in the wilderness. And then there would be a story to follow about what happened. Maybe these children were following their parents on this trail, and the parents said, hey, stay on the trail. If you don't stay on the trail, you're going to get lost. There's wild animals out there. You'll get eaten. Or maybe they'll tell the story where the child just flat out didn't even want to hear what they had to say and just kind of ran off, and then they couldn't find them. I'll tell you this morning that the account given here in Numbers 13 and in Hebrews chapter 3 is not the account of an accidental loss in the wilderness. This is the account of people who ignored God, who wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit, to God, to Moses, to the people who were placed in their lives. It's interesting that the children of Israel, maybe you didn't know this until we read it this morning, the children of Israel ignored God 10 times. Did you know how many times Pharaoh ignored God? 10 times. And you would think that these Christian people, so to say, these chosen people of God, would have listened a little bit better than the pagans that they were captive under. But that's not the case either. You see, at this 10th time, where these 12 spies went into Canaan, and they came back and they told an evil report, at this 10th time, God said, they have not known my ways. They've hardened their hearts. Therefore I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And this morning, even seated here, there might be someone whose heart is hardened against God. And just like a child ignoring his father's or his mother's plea to come back onto the trail, just like that child, your heart might be doing that and running away from God. You say, how can I avoid separation from God? Because separation from God is a very scary, serious thing. And the first way that you can avoid separation from God is found in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, which says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice. God's voice comes to us in various ways. It comes to us through his word. When Moses got the Ten Commandments handed to him in Exodus chapter 34, it was such a notable experience to him that his face shone brightly. It was so bright that he had to cover his face with a veil because those who would look on him were astounded. They couldn't handle it. God spoke to his people through his word. They heard his voice through the Ten Commandments. For decades prior to King Josiah, Josiah's grandfather, his father, for 56 years, ignored God. They wanted nothing to do with him. Their hearts were separated from him. They wanted nothing to do with him. But it was when God's word was discovered in the ruins where Josiah's servants came to him, gave him the word of the Lord. That's when he heard God's voice. That's when revival in his own heart took place, was through God's word. He heard his voice. Josiah heard God's voice through his word. Very often we're not content to hear God's voice through his word. Sometimes we look for things that are extra. Some sign, if you will. Maybe that sounds familiar to the account in Numbers 13. But Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. If you're looking for something extra biblical outside of what God will communicate to you through his word, through his messengers, or through the Holy Spirit, you're going to be disappointed. You see these pages here, I don't know if this is enough to take me to heaven. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus Christ responded to the Pharisees who had that exact same excuse because Jesus was teaching them a lesson from their own scriptures, what they had. And he told a story, an account of a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man died and he went to hell. And Lazarus, the poor man, went to heaven. And I'm sure you can imagine, if you were in such a horrible place, you wouldn't want your own family members to go to hell, to such a horrible place. And so this rich man said to Abraham, send Lazarus to my brothers. If someone rises from the dead, then they'll believe. They'll hear him then. It'll be proof, evidence that God is real, that there's heaven and that there's hell. But the response that the rich man got was this: they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And if the scriptures aren't enough for you to be hearing God's voice, nothing will be. What do you do when God is saying to you, would you pick up my word this morning? Before you head off to work, just read a chapter. Just have some communion with me. What do you do when he speaks to you? Do you hear his voice? Or do you choose to hear and then to separate yourself from the voice of God? Not only does God speak to us through his word, he speaks to us through messengers, through people that he sends to either confront sin or to encourage. God speaks to us through people that he sends. In fact, here with the children of Israel, Joshua and Caleb, and even Moses were the messengers to the children of Israel. And surely with two people, the only two people who were going to go into the land of Canaan, you think they would listen to them. Of course, maybe they didn't know that at the time. And the words that Joshua and Caleb spoke said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. And the people's response was, they wanted to pick up stones and stone the messengers. Maybe you're thinking, surely if God himself came down to earth and gave the message of salvation, then people would believe. If people just knew who Jesus was, if they knew how he grew up in his own hometown, then they would believe. In Mark chapter 6, verse 3, the people to whom Jesus spoke said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And then you kind of think, good, they know who he is, they'll believe. But the last part of that verse says, and they took offense at him. You can also hear God's voice, as the text here says, through the Holy Ghost, who speaks to us, who convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You say, I don't really understand how the Holy Ghost is speaking to me this morning. That's a little bit fishy. Well, would you listen and try to understand this? Verses 7 through 11 are a direct reference to Psalm 95. And Psalm 95 was written, we believe, by Moses. And you're saying, well, Moses still isn't the Holy Ghost. And that's where you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, which says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so literally, the words here in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, is the Holy Ghost speaking. Amen. You say they were living in a different culture. We're in 2017. Those people were way back when. Who knows? Maybe this wasn't real. Actually, I don't think God's going to treat me the same way. Different people, different culture, different everything, really. And I'll say to you this morning that you're exactly right. It was a different people, but the same God.
Amen.
The Bible says in just 10 chapters later, in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. And if in your heart you're making the excuse that these were a different people, you remember that God is the same today as he was back then. And if you think you can put him off until tomorrow, that's addressed to in verses 12 and 13. You say, I'm hearing exactly what you're saying this morning. I'm hearing exactly what you're saying this morning. And so we looked at the first way that we can avoid separation from God given here in Hebrews is to hear his voice. But hearing isn't enough. When I was in Greenville this last year, 2 years, I did some work at home for this dermatologist, a retired dermatologist. And he lived in a beautiful house. It was built in 1939, and he was born there, and he lived there even to this day. And this house had a lot of really neat decorations. It was in very, very good shape. But in this one room that was the study, I kid you not, there were letters stacked halfway to the ceiling. Mail, magazines, posters. This room was covered in unneeded, unwanted papers. And so me being who I am, I'm an organizer. I love organizing things. And I said to him, hey, I'll organize this for you. I'll throw away whatever you don't want, and you can keep what you do want. Well, let's clean this room up. When people come over, it'll be a much nicer room than it was before. And so he said, sure, that sounds great. We'll do that. So we went in there, and he said, but I'm going to tell you which ones we can throw away and which ones not to. And I said, that's fine. So I had a trash bag with me, and there was one from 1979 with a pumpkin pie on the front for Thanksgiving. And I said, we can throw this one away, right? You know, it's 30, 40 years old. Let's keep that one. Okay. I mean, it was in good shape. You could have sold it for money, maybe. And so we put that one aside and picked up a piece of mail from 2001. And I said, okay, we're going to throw this away. And I just threw it away. And he says, no, don't throw it away. I picked it up, put it back out. Okay, so I started going through this. And he still kept saying, you know, there were some posters from way back when. They were torn. They weren't even needed. I started putting that into the trash bag and said, don't put that one in there either. I don't want to put that one there. And see, what was happening was he heard me when I said I wanted to organize that room. He had every intention to have a clean room, to do the right thing. Did he hear me? Yes. But did he hear me? No. And there may be some here this morning who are hearing, but you're not hearing. See, the second way that we avoid separation from God is by not hardening our hearts. Their hearts were so hardened. I mean, you flip through the pages of your Bible, and you will begin to realize that these people constantly ignored God. All the time. I mean, look at what God did here. He said, I'm done with you. You do not know my ways. You've hardened your heart. But what does that mean to you? The same God that was God to them is the same God that's God to us. And somehow we discount it as if, well, that's for them, and that doesn't apply to me. And we can be apathetic sitting here. I've ignored God a whole bunch of times. I know it. I've gotten it right. I can just sit here and say a quick prayer, and it's over. That's it. But then in the bottom of your heart, you know that you're truly not hearing God. Because at the root of it, it's you. It's your heart that has been hardened, but maybe you don't realize it. See, you, as if you were in the children of Israel's camp, you could have said, look at Pharaoh. He hardened his heart so many times. Look what he did. He needed to get right with God. We want the whole earth to be ruled by God, to know salvation. We want them, the Egyptians, they need to hear God. You know, my neighbor in the next tribe over here, I saw him steal something. I saw this person lying. I heard them lying. This next tribe over, someone in my family did the wrong thing. They have such a hardened heart. But this text here, and throughout the Word of God, points the Holy Ghost and the conviction of God's Word, not to them over in Egypt, not to those in the next tribe over, not to those even in your own family, but the Holy Ghost speaks directly to you. And you're lying to yourself if you think that you can ignore God and put him off and blame it on other people or shift the focus. Those people at work are bad people. They get drunk all the time. They're addicted to drugs. But I'm good because I go to church. No. You let the Holy Spirit deal with your own heart first. And then the rest of the world and those around you will know repentance. It's too long of a message this morning to keep explaining how hard their hearts were. I could go through hours worth of explaining the ignorance of these people who were separated from God because of their unwillingness to hear him, because of their hardened hearts. You know something? People with hardened hearts are hard to work with. It's hard for God to work with you. People with hardened hearts look at other people during a message. They think of people who need to get right besides themselves. And God can't use you. Carissa and I, a few months ago, made a really neat sculpture. We couldn't mold it. We couldn't shape it because we're not that skilled at doing that. But we did buy a kit to make this mold of our hands being held together like this. And what you do is you get a bucket and you fill it with some kind of powder that turns into a stone, a concrete. And then you have one powder that turns into kind of a rubbery one, and that one actually goes in first. So this rubbery one molds around your hands when you stick it in there. And when we made the rubbery mold first, Chris and I held our hands together, put it down in the bucket, and it was like mud, and it just seeped around our hands. And it filled all the little lines between our hands, and we held it there for a long time, and it was easy to work with. And then once that's finished, we pull it out, and we pour the concrete powder into there, and it made a mold of our hands. And once the concrete settles, we pulled that chunk out, and there are our hands together. You could even see the lines on our fingers to the smallest point. That's the person who is easy for God to work with. But the person who's hard for God to work with is like God putting his hands together, trying to make something, ready to stick his hands into the bucket of mud, only to find that it's a stone. And you can't even begin to work with it. That example is given in the Old Testament. You're hard clay. You're hardened. And you're hardened against the seriousness of ignoring God. You've been ignoring him. See, a hardened heart says, I don't need to go forward. I don't really need to do anything major about this. In fact, if I were to go forward, even in an invitation, these other people would see me and look down on me. And I'll tell you something, that if those people look at you and they look down on you, they belong at the altar right next to you. Because their hearts were hardened as well. You can avoid separation from God if you just hear his voice. if you make sure your heart is moldable. And lastly, if you hasten today. Would you look at verses 12 and 13 with me? The writer of Hebrews is writing and says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily." While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's something that we don't always like to hear, because hastening to do something, not procrastinating, means we have to change. It means that a significant change has to take place. People who don't hear God, who are hard in their hearts, procrastinate. The next message will address it better, and I can get it right then. That's being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, by procrastinating, by putting God off. Isn't it interesting how we can easily procrastinate God, but when sin comes into our lives, we don't procrastinate that. That takes priority in our lives, because we can just easily shift the timing of things and ignore God, put Him off for tomorrow. It's not that I'm never going to get right with God. It's just that it's going to be a little bit later. But the most biblical response to God's voice is to get right with Him today. Now. Right now. Verse 13 says, exhort one another daily. That's what I'm doing with you, and what other people have done with me. Exhort each other daily. While it is called, not tomorrow, not next week, but while, in verse 13, it is called today. See, there's so many well-intentioned Christians who want to do the right thing, but they never get right with God because they procrastinate. They don't get right with God now. And then it's no wonder that there's no revival. There's no presence of God's voice anywhere else in their lives. And then they get bitter against God because He's not showing me anything from His Word. Well, maybe that's because you've been procrastinating. You've been ignoring God. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 7, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." And there might be some of you here this morning who are putting off for tomorrow what God spoke to you about today. Don't be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Listen to God's voice. Because even for God as your Father, when He's trying to lead you on the path that He wants you to follow, He doesn't want you to ignore Him and veer off the path. He wants you to hear His voice. He wants you not to harden your heart, but to give Him a tender heart. And He wants you to do it today.